I'm Tommy Gimler. It's the 2017 Daily Upper Decker Major League Baseball Preview. And we've got every single part of Lake Michigan covered. Where there's a Major League Baseball team, we've got you covered. On the south side of Chicago, we've got Gary Dudek. On the north side of Chicago, still buzzing from last year's just unbelievable finish to the 2016 MLB season. We've got Barry Guitar Murphy from the north side. And I'm here to cover the Brewers. Somebody get me some alcohol.
The Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.
We've got a sponsor here, ladies and gentlemen. Our boy Andy at Flag and Anthem sent us some shirts. You guys are going home with a couple of those shirts. Really tits clothing.
Very nice.
And he didn't ask me to say that, but I'm going to say it right there. Like, yeah. I haven't had Katie look at me like that.
I've never bought a shirt either that came with a pack of cigarettes. I thought that was
nice.
That was really nice of them.
It is.
Really nice of them.
Those Marlboro special blends.
I didn't think anyone smoked them anymore.
It's out of New York, too, so I think cigarettes across state lines. That's what got Ray Liotta in trouble in Goodfellas. brought to you by
nice
Flag
shirts.
And Anthem. Our 2017 MLB preview brought to you by Flag and Anthem. You can jump on dailyupperdecker.com. And there's a link to send you to Flag and Anthem where you can actually type in the code DAILYANTHEM and get 20% off your first purchase. Free shipping off any orders over $50. It's a big year for me right now. I've got new clothes, and I've got a sponsor at the Daily Upper mm-hmm. Decker. We love you. Flag and Anthem, check them out. All right. And we're talking about how, you know, forward we're looking to the baseball season. I would say, all right, so the Cubs, Red Sox, Indians, they're all up there as far as being like the teams that are supposed to be there in the end. But I want to throw this question out to you. Which team will win we're going to call it the Live by Night Award, the Ben Affleck movie, for being the team that is expected to do big things, but then they just totally shit the bed and wind up becoming nothing more than a huge tax write-off for the owner.
Did you guys see that movie, by the way?
I did not. I wanted to.
I did, but only because I had a screener.
Okay.
And it was probably the most cliched, like, Boardwalk Empire type movie that I've ever seen. It was just beat by beat. It was like, this guy gets screwed over, and then he's up for revenge. But it was still okay, but then there was like 20 endings. It just wouldn't end. There was a couple bad accents. Of course, Affleck didn't even mess with that. He just talked like himself, so
right.
He was smart for that. But it was just kind of a cookie cutter movie. Like, I didn't really understand what the point of it was.
So it really was that shitty. I mean, it bombed. And
yeah.
it's one of those movies on Box Office Mojo where it says, like,
yeah,
it made maybe $20 million
and
domestically.
And it cost like $70
million to make. Well, no, then the production budget is N.A.
Oh.
So you know that Warner Brothers is going to soak that thing for all it's worth. Like, in the end, it's going to be like, we spend $250 million on this.
Yeah.
It's got to be nothing but more than a huge tax write-off.
Ben will always have Ardo, though.
I think Affleck is just like the bankable. Like, God, we've had too many winners. Let's get somebody.
Very
in.
Rewatchable too.
I love that movie.
It's one of the best B minus movies in the history of B minuses. And I can watch
it
anytime.
B-.
Time.
Yeah.
I did.
Really?
That's my horrible scale.
Why didn't you like it?
No, I think that's pretty good. B minus.
Yeah. B minus.
Yeah, that's good. Great.
My dad would have like caned me if I came home with a B minus in high school.
All right.
And that's coming from a guy who didn't graduate high school. Fucking hypocritical bastard. God, between the Brewers, between talking about the Brewers this year in the MLB preview and talking about my dad being mad at me for getting a B minus in calculus.
He wasn't really mad, though, right?
He thought calculus was spelled with a K. Two of them. Two Ks in there.
Gotta be better, son.
Man, if
wrong
I,
kid, dad.
No, literally. If I came home with a B, they'd be like, are you having trouble? Because I got so many A's. Like, my final grade point average was 3.9. I was like a 3.9 some
student. I would have pictured you to be like the ADD before ADD kid, you know? Throwing shit off the wall. Like,
well, I was still at high school. I was still at high school when the soda machines were still on during the day. And I had, like, the key being the student government guy. That anytime I wanted a Mountain Dew, I could go in and get it. So I was awake.
Big RC Cola guy, I bet.
No, we did have it. We were Pepsi. Wisconsin's a Pepsi.
Remember All Sport drink?
For 6 or 8 months.
Yes.
It was like Gatorade, Powerade, All Sport. We had a lot of All Sport in Woodland High School. In Streeter, Illinois.
Got sued by a couple of diabetic kids. And, yeah. Live by Night Award. We'll start with you, Gary Dudek. The team that is expected to do big things, but then just totally bombs and winds up becoming nothing more than a huge tax write-off for its owner.
I'm going to go with the Dodgers. I'm a homer hater.
I feel like we do this every year. We hate on the Dodgers every year, and they're always there.
Not this time. I feel like they just don't have it. Do they still have Rich Hill?
They do.
That's
the
problem right
yep.
there. I think he's going to suck. I hate Rich Hill. He's always cussing at himself after he's given up like six runs in the first three innings of a playoff game. He's like, oh, he's going to fight through it. And he's just garbage. But I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year, to be honest.
On ESPN.com's, or it could be MLB.com's depth chart right now, they have like nine starting pitchers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
It's like you have like Clayton Kershaw and then a whole bunch of fours.
Yeah. I think the Giants are going to be better. Obviously, the Padres are going to suck. I think the Rockies and Diamondbacks will be competitive. So I think they're going to have... They're going to struggle in their division a little bit more than they think, and I think they'll just miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they remind me that starting rotation reminds me of like Lil Wayne's entourage. You have like one winner and then like a bunch of fucking twos.
Yes, I agree with that. And they do have Jensen still, right? They re-signed
Kenley
him.
Jensen, yep. They have yeah. Justin Turner at third base. Yeah. You have Corey Seager. You have Jock Peterson. They got Logan Forsythe.
Looks like an all-star cast of Live by Night to me.
Evan Longoria is still extremely butthurt. That they trade. It's like, hey, man, it's a business. How many of your buddies have you seen come and go in Tampa Bay?
Mm-hmm.
So the way that Evan Longoria talked about losing Logan Forsythe to the Dodgers, like you would think that they were homosexual lovers. And I'm dead serious. Like, I've never heard somebody talk about a player like that where it's like, it still stinks. I don't know how I can get over it. And it's like, get over it. It was Logan Forsythe. Yeah, this wasn't like a Chase Utley that's like an icon.
It reminds me a little bit of how Manny Ramirez always had Julian Tavares by his side. I always thought that was a little strange. Like, they seem like they're way too good of friends. Didn't understand that. So
Julian Tavares, man, how has he not been like involved in a murder?
Is he still alive?
I think he is. Yeah, check it out. Julian Tavares dead.
He might be in jail.
Exactly. Like, how has he at least not been like arrested for some kind of felony? All right, Murph. Gary says the Dodgers, and he said it in English. We should next time you rip on a Dodgers, it's got to be all in Spanish.
Doyers.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna throw the Mets in there on this one.
Mm-hmm. All right.
This is gonna be one of those for me that crosses over a lot of categories. You're gonna hear a lot of Mets from me. I'm basing this on their win total, so I don't know if that's 100% fair, but it's the exact same number
half,
that
yep.
they had last year. And in my opinion, when you give somebody like Cespedes this kind of money, it just gets worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you obviously it's been proven you cannot count on Matt Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Wheeler is still out. They don't know when he's coming back. So you've got Syndergaard with all this pressure on him. And that team, I don't think that team got better.
Well, and I think you said it off mic like a couple days ago when you were like, Cespedes now has the guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
So it was like last year.
Of all the Cuban guys, yeah. It's been proven over. And Rosny Castillo and these guys, you pay them. They're
That's
done.
Puig, yeah.
They're done, man. They're garbage after that. They yeah. just they're dogs.
They do have
Lucas Duda, one letter off from my last name, so I root for him.
He's like
based on
April
that.
Through June. You're like, man, this guy. Why doesn't anyone else have him? Yeah. I think he has a couple of pints in the summer. Yeah. It was up to the
house.
Yeah, the fishing up at the pier on weekends.
Real puffy.
Yeah, watch. He'll have like eight or nine spring break homers, and he'll be just like yeah. that fantasy baseball sleeper.
And then
yeah.
like David Wright's thrown 50 pitches to his butt. He's still playing? Like what?
Yeah.
He's thrown 50 pitches. Why is he throwing 50 pitches? This guy's not going to play.
I just want to give a quick shout out to Stanley Duda, by the way. I went to school, believe it or not, with a kid named Stanley Duda, one letter off from my name. We had lockers together for 12 years.
Wow.
Or right next to each other.
I'm going to be honest. He just sounds like he just smells bad.
I'm going to keep it quiet on old Stan. He's a good guy.
All right,
he was a good guy.
It doesn't mean you could be
if
a good
still
guy.
Alive.
And just
I don't really
it.
Know. To be honest.
Yeah,
he probably still delivers Christmas trees every year in your town or something.
I'm going to go with the St. Louis Cardinals. I think that team is a fucking mess. I think for the first time, their prospects, like last year, it was like it was always like a next man up, like the and Jeremy Hazelbaker or whatever. Like he had his moments, but he was just nothing but like a 28-year-old minor league like hang around that just got the call up and he had a couple of great hits, but then he faded out. All of these guys are coming up. And now they're signing like Dexter Fowler to be their center fielder.
Oh, it's
like
a bit of World Series Dexter there. Fowler.
But I'm saying like that's their big signing.
God,
he looks
weird in this uniform.
They used to make such big
like,
splashes.
Great
smile though.
But I'm just saying like I think that it's almost over. And I don't know if it has anything to do with Mike Matheny because he's that ornery old.
He's an
like,
asshole.
Yeah, and he like fits that whole mold like of like hey, it's where you play for the Cardinals. Like I don't care that we just played three games in a row and your genital warts are popping up. Like you're getting out there, Yachty. Get out there. Let's go. But it's just like there's a lot of they're old. I know they lost. They got rid of Holiday. The Yankees, of course, picked them up. That's like I feel like they trade old guys back and forth, you know, more than any team. But I'm just saying, I think they're too old. And I think, like, even like the guys, like, I had a huge hard on for Matt Adams back in the day. I was like, the Brewers need to trade a draft pick and two prospects and get that guy in Miller Park. And he just can't hit left-handed pitching. So it's like he was platooning. It was so bad last year that he was platooning with Reynolds. When there was a lefty on the mound, Mark Reynolds. No, Mark Reynolds went to Colorado, but it might have been a year before. So it was like when you're in a platoon situation with Mark Reynolds, then you're not an elite, you know, process. You haven't, like, come to fruition. So I think that there's so many question marks on the pitching staff and Alex Reyes.
Are you knocking Brett Cecil?
Oh, did they pick up Brett Cecil?
Brett Cecil. Yeah. Let's not forget about that.
Good riddance, sail the Canucks up in Toronto.
I have three headlines for you that'll help your story. Dexter Fowler criticized Trump and was ruthlessly attacked by Cardinals fans.
Oh, God.
Of course they Cardinals are. Dexter Fowler expresses disappointment over Trump travel ban. Cardinals Dexter Fowler, whose wife is from Iran, weighs in on Trump. I mean, he's in hillbilly country.
Yeah,
St. Louis, we might as well stick it in Mississippi.
He might get lynched.
Hillbilly
yeah.
Central. Not good for the Cardinals.
That old onion headline.
Me out there, six or eight Budweisers, and he's dropping N-bombs in center field like 20 feet behind him. Not good. Dexter's not going to put up with that.
Going to get lynched for stealing second.
Yeah.
And then their big phenom, their pitcher, Alex Reyes, Tommy John, he's out for the year.
Oh, really? That's
so it's like, you know, Michael Wacha is like one of those guys. At first it was like, holy shit, they just found another Adam Wainwright. He's going to be that guy. And then he sucked balls last year, like ERA over five. There are just too many question marks.
So
and
why
just,
do you think their number is so high?
Because they're Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are one of those teams that public money. I think, like, everyone always expects them to be good.
All right.
And when was the last time they were under 500? I feel like them
2 years
Yankees,
ago when I took their over. I think
bit you in the ass.
Assholes.
Wow. But yeah, I just think that there's too many question marks, too much of an age issue, and, like, the prospects just aren't, like, who are the other guys? The Grichik? Randall Grichik didn't really pan out the way he was supposed to, and there's one more white kid that you know they always bring up it's these white kids through the system that are like nobodies and they turn into superstars, and that's just not the case. All right, moving on in our list of questions here that are going to basically compile our 2017 MLB preview brought to you by Flag and Anthem. You can also find us on dailyupperdecker.com every single day at Daily Upper Deck on Twitter and on Facebook. Guys, which team will win the Rudy Huxtable Award for the team that you expected absolutely nothing from, like they were going to grow up and be gross or a heroin addict, but instead they turned out to be a smoking hottie?
Oh, man.
Murph?
I'll go first. I'm gonna sandbag one of my over-unders and not tell you about them. So I'm going to go Rockies. I think
they're
like
expected
the
big things, actually. This is probably their best over-under. Yeah, Ian Desmond. They have Bud Black in there now. Some new blood, like someone who's really been good with his pitchers.
They're one of those teams that, you know, nobody's really from there, but they're so fun to cheer for.
Right.
It's almost like we were talking NBA earlier, like the over-under, like because I did it last year, when you take like someone like the Knicks, you want them to lose, and then you took their over, and you're like, this makes it worse. Like, I think the Rockies, you don't want to take their under, because they might win 18 in a row in like mid-July to mid-August, and they have like four legitimate sluggers on that team. I don't know. So that would be my team that is maybe shocked the Giants and Dodgers a little bit.
I completely agree with that pick. They're at 79.5, which is by far their highest over-under in years that they've had. So you kind of look at it and you say, like, well, no one can pitch. No one can pitch in Colorado. So what is going on? Why is that over-under so high? Obviously, you have Arenado, you have Cargo, you've got Trevor Story coming back, you've added Ian Desmond. You definitely have some big bats in the lineup. Like, we get that, but it's always been there. They've always had the big bats, and they've always sucked balls. But it's almost like the Packers needing to hire a defensive head coach. The offense is fine. You have the studs there. You know, you don't need – it's like, you know, Bill Belichick with Tom Brady, right? Bill Belichick just run a no-name defense and just go and bring in someone who knows the offense and just let them do their thing. And here I think it's the same situation where you don't need a hitting coach in Colorado. You don't need an offensive-minded Walt Weiss or – I think he was supposed to be offensive-minded. He played – you know, he's a shortstop and a hitter. But you bring in Bud Black to work with the pitchers. Right.
Yeah.
And he knows nothing better than pitching. I mean, he's been a manager down in San Diego and he's probably done more with less than almost anybody. Joe Maddon, maybe, down in Tampa, really got a lot of his players down there. But I think I like that it's like you have the pitching, you're bringing in the pitching expert to Colorado. The offense is going to be fine. Gary, what about you? Rudy Huxtable Award.
I'm literally going off of not too much here, but other than the fact that I bet on them last year and I thought they were due for a step, and they didn't really take it, but it was due to a tragic boating accident. So I'm going to take the Marlins on inspiration and motivation and all that good storyline stuff for ESPN to take. I think they're only, they're at 77 wins this year. They're
77 and a half, I think.
I think they're going to play tough for a chance for the wild card, and I think it's going to be just based off. They signed who? Edison Volquez? How do you say his name?
Well, he fits in Miami, it sounds like.
Right? Close enough. Right. He'll replace Jose Fernandez. He's going to have a good year. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to just play tough. And then, like you said earlier, the Mets, you expect to kind of take a step back. And I think they can hold their own in that division for a while. And they always play the Nationals really tough, too. I watched way more Phillies Nationals games last year than I even can understand why, but I did.
You mean Marlins Nationals?
Marlins Nationals, I meant. And,
pick a team and go
with it. Sorry. I was looking at Phillies on my screen. But I think the Marlins are going to give him hell.
I think you're honestly forgetting the fact that they're managed by Don Mattingly. So I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays this year, gentlemen. The Tampa Bay Rays, FanGraphs actually has them at 81-81 this year. That would be a leap of 13 games. Only the Minnesota Twins would be like... I think they're like an increase of 16 wins or something like that. Whoa. So only the Minnesota Twins are projected to have... a higher increase in win total. I just think that, they made a couple of trades there. It'll be interesting to see where the De Leon kid fits in. Longoria is still a great player. They bring in Colby Rasmus. There's just a couple of decent players. And
they signed Wilson Ramos.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be great when he's healthy in September. That's going to be outstanding. There's something about it where you got to pick one of these shitty teams, and based on all these shitty teams that I see at the bottom of their divisions, I'm going to just go with the Rays.
There you go.
Let's talk about just individual players some more. Who will win the Anna Nicole Smith Award for being the player who makes a giant comeback at the beginning of the year just before fizzling out and dying toward the end of it? Because I think that's a great award.
Yeah.
Anna Nicole Smith, like, she was, like, hot in Playboy, and then she got super fucking fat, and her, like, my brother-in-law still thought she was hot because he thinks every girl's hot.
I got to go in for this, I think.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to go with Matt Kemp. Because I keep reading about how he's, like, leaned out.
The best shape of his life.
The best shape of his life. And obviously he was a stud, 5 years ago? And then he kind of, went down and got traded. And
started dating Rihanna. It's like dating a Kardashian.
Exactly.
It's just the end of your career.
So he ends up on the Braves, right, last year, midseason trade, I think it was.
Yes.
Like July trade. And, it seems like, okay, well, maybe he's just going to go there and be off the radar. But now I think he's going to start off hot. Everyone's going to start talking about him again. And then he'll probably just, he'll just fucking bat 190 in July after the All-Star break, and then that'll be it.
So. All right. Well, my fantasy keeper team hopes you're wrong. I got him for $23. Murph, Anna Nicole Smith Award. Nice comeback at the beginning of the year, but definitely, like, fizzles out.
I'm going to go with David Price. I know that's kind of a weird one, but I think less pressure on him with Sale being there, so he comes out hot and then just, like every other pitcher goes to that division, just starts getting killed again.
Yeah.
It's a weak one, but that's all I got.
My fantasy baseball keeper league hopes you're wrong. Just traded for him today.
Wow. First two guys.
First two guys.
Bad omen for you.
I'm gonna throw this name out there. Brian Wilson. Beard.
Did he get signed?
Is he back?
So he's had a couple of tryouts. I know he tried out with Tampa Bay, but he shaved the beard, and he's coming back as a knuckleballer.
That's right. I did hear about that. Yeah.
So, Murph, can you grab me a Bud Light? Not one of our sponsors, enough to get us through this Major League Baseball preview.
Yeah,
brought to you by Flag and Anthem.
Do you think he's going to go full clean shaven or just like...
No, he is. He's
like
already...
Not
even
stubble or like a...
Check him out online. You wouldn't even recognize him.
Wow.
He honestly looks like a kid that... a dude that you'd hide your kids from at Sears. He looks like just one like an awkward dude, because you've always just seen the beard. Like, he almost looks more trustworthy like that with the beard.
Yeah, that's true. Where's he at now? Let's see.
So yeah, just look at Brian Wilson MLB comeback or something like that. So some team's gonna pick him up, right?
Yeah.
As a knuckleballer, and he's gonna, like, the first couple of appearances, it's gonna be crazy, it's gonna be awesome. And then just like, the last couple of years in his career, he's just gonna start getting shelled and just fizzle out.
Man.
Right? Have you seen him yet?
I haven't found a new pitcher. I keep finding these old ones. But he look different with no beard there, where he's clean shaven. It's nuts.
All right, I like this one right here. Is it Jung Ho Kong or Jung Ho Kang? Who gives a shit? He's not going to start the year with the Pirates. Probably he's going to miss it because he got his third DUI.
Wow.
Or something. And it's like, he's Asian, so he's already a terrible driver. It's like you can't add alcohol to the mix, man.
Do you think he's smoking cigarettes too, like all the guys at Hollywood Park Casino?
Oh, he's Asian. He's got to smoke.
Yeah.
It's
you think maybe like one of the DUIs, like he sort of switched his wife and him in the car, like, sort of thing? Because isn't it the women drivers are worse? I mean, if we're going to be foul.
I think that there's an age difference. Like, if you've ever met, like, a 22-year-old Asian dude, he's a great driver.
Well,
like,
in L.A., it's different.
He's as good of a driver as you possibly get. But you meet, like, a 40-some or 30-some-year-old Asian, it doesn't matter, boy, girl, they're terrible.
Is he Korean? Mr. Gong? Is that his name?
Korean, I think, right?
Kong?
Kong. It's Kang. Kong. Let's pronounce it in the most Wisconsin way possible.
He got three DUIs last year.
I think it's
Jung Ho Kang.
Yeah,
Jung Ho Kang. He got DUIs in Pittsburgh?
He got one in the States and one overseas. So
the cops are all in like a pool. Like, who's got Kang tonight? Oh, I'm going to follow him. This fucking guy's hitting the fucking pool over here. And they just keep arresting him.
And it's like it's gotten so bad for him that he's actually got like a car switch like thing where he switches three cars before he like leaves a mile.
Because when you see him, he doesn't look like that sort of guy.
No.
You know what I mean? There's certain guys look like they like
Asians
to go
are very
home
trustworthy and people.
Well, not just Asians. I'm just saying him.
Right. Well, all right. So anyway, so he gets his third DUI, right?
Wow. In South
and it's like,
Korea.
Dude, come on. Yeah. Okay. So over in South Korea. And good thing it wasn't in North Korea.
Yeah.
I mean, the half-brother, the dictator over there is getting assassinated. I mean, imagine what they do to a guy who gets three DUIs.
You think in South Korea he'd be able to
feed him to your mother.
He'd be able to buy himself out of the DUI, right? Like, I'll give you some money for the wall, so... Yeah.
I don't see. I think in South Korea, it's a little more like respectful of a
like
a
your finger chopped off, you steal candy, that sort of thing.
Well, he needs his fingers for his career. Find a toe, just ends up playing like a
Malaysian rules.
So we have the Jung Ho Kang Award for the player who you guys think is going to get the season's first DUI.
You want to go first, Barry? You got anybody?
Sure, I'll go first. I'm going to go back to the Mets, and I will take Jonas Cespedes for honor.
Is he going to be on a right horse?
I don't know if you've been watching some of the cars he likes to show up at the spring training in, but he came in like a Can-Am Corvette with like three wheels the other day. So, yeah, I'm going to go with him. He might be dead when it happens. But, yeah, no, I think Cespedes is the runaway 3-2 favorite in this category.
Unbelievable. I'm going to go with Jonathan Villar on the Brewers. I'm always going to go with the Brewer.
Yeah,
I feel like every year.
Brewers insight that we don't have.
Yovani Gallardo got busted for a Dewey before they shipped him off to Texas. He was hanging out at the bar my brother frequents. It's like two blocks from his house. Left's Lucky Town in Wauwatosa. Nice bar.
Why the fuck was he there?
Because I think a lot of – it's in like an upscale neighborhood. So, you know, if you're chasing like some 27-year-old young professional puss, like Ooh. You go to Left's Lucky Town in Wauwatosa. So I'm going to go with Jonathan Villar. I think he's going to really struggle with the shift over to second base. And then it's going to be almost like a platoon situation with Schooner Jeanette. And it's just maybe a youngster comes up and they're like, Villar, you know, you too many base running mistakes. And he just takes it out. It takes it out one night, 12 drinks at a bar, and gets behind the wheel of his Volvo.
Can we go back to that name real quick? Schooner Jeanette?
Scooter Jeanette, yeah. He could be up there, too, because he just lost his second baseman job to Jonathan Villar. So I'll say Jonathan Villar. He's a head case. I can see him doing it.
All right. I just like to go with history repeating itself for my pick, and I'm going to go with Miguel Cabrera.
It's
been a while. He's getting up there in age a little bit.
He hasn't
had
one in a couple of years either.
Exactly.
It's a couple like of years. How about it's been him. A while, the Stain song. It's been a couple of years since I've heard that one as well.
Perfect for a rainy day, that tune, you know?
Sure.
Just smoke a cigarette, cranked on some Stain. anyway, I think Cabrera might hit the bottle a little bit more this year. As he gets up there in age, maybe a little more bored.
I like it. You're going with the repeat. That would really be the Jung Ho Kang Award. Getting his second
exactly.
doing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, perfect.
I might give you an extra $10 if that actually happens. And even if Miggy Cabrera isn't like the first one to get it, if it happens just sometime during the year, I think I'm going to give you $10.
Nice. I like it.
All right, guys. Moving over to the new name in a new place. A lot of new names. You got Chris Sale in Boston, Edwin Encarnacion in Cleveland, Mark Melancon in San Francisco, Aroldis Chapman back in New York, Ian Desmond in Colorado, Bud Black in Colorado. We already talked about it. New name in a new place. Which player or manager will have the biggest effect on his new team?
All right. I really wanted to take Mark Melancon in San Francisco. I think he is going to be huge, and I think the Nationals are just moronic for getting rid of him. But I'm going to go with Chapman in a bad way. I think Aroldis Chapman is going to have a huge effect on the Yankees by being terrible. I think the playoffs are going to really mess with his head.
Right.
I think he is an angry dude inside. I just see an angry guy on his face, and I think he's going to do something. He's going to suck, and he's just going to just deflate, or he's going to do something violent and angry, off the field and miss another 60 to 100 games.
I like it.
Over under of games, I'll set it at, or we'll set it like at April 30th, before or after that Girardi brings him in like the eighth inning.
Yeah.
Just to see, like, hey, are you going to be mentally tough to get
like,
through this?
Test him. I can't
because now you've read that Chapman's like, I'm a one-inning guy.
Exactly.
He might have put it in his contract, for Christ's sake.
That like, you can only pitch me the one
until
inning?
Until the playoffs, I can only be pitched one inning.
So if you bring him in with, like, one out in the eighth,
yeah,
like, he can only pitch till there's
can't
one out in
the
ninth.
Can't you see Girardi just testing him on purpose?
Like, Little League rules.
I do. Yeah. I actually see that. I think that's a great thing. I,
and, like,
I bet
Theo
you
and Madden are just like, keep pitching the guy. Three innings.
See, I'm going to stick with closers, and I'm going to say Mark Melanson in San Francisco because if you watch, if you watch the Giants last year, like how many games did they lose?
Huge.
There was one game I can't remember who they were playing, but they were up like four or five runs, and Bochy did everything he possibly could. He went through like five or six relievers, and they all sucked balls. Yeah. And then you have Casillas saying like, "I'm the closer." It hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it hurt my feelings.
They closed out the fucking game.
Didn't
pal.
They fuck the game against the Cubs?
Like game
right?
four,
game
was
four,
bad.
Right?
Really bad. Yeah.
Was that the one where you just kept going through reliever after reliever and didn't matter? Yeah, you're right. That was the one. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, honestly, that's – if you look at how many games their bullpen blew last year, and that's a team that, like, their offense, just for whatever reason, they're not going to score a ton of runs, so you need that airtight motherfucker waiting at the end. And I think Melanson's a good thing. All right, one or two more awards here, and then we'll get into our draft. I like this one. Is it Lena?
It's Lena Dunham.
Yeah, I don't care. She's ugly. Yeah. She's fucking annoying. She's atrocious. Like, she can honestly eat my ass.
I'm with you on that.
Like,
one.
Why do people get behind her? Like, is girls really that, like, revolutionary that it's like, oh my God, we've got to kiss her fat fucking ass?
Wow.
And you know.
Atrocious, ugly.
You know, there's, you know, there's, she's probably got that ass where you can see, like, a hair or two poking out of her anus. Yeah. It is so disgusting. She is gross.
Putting
in
frosting
every sense
on
of
the
word.
Cake. There's enough frosting on there.
She's pretty vile.
All right, so
I
Lena Dunham.
I can see her having those pimples that got hair sticking out.
Oh,
like those
sure.
whiteheads right on your ass you get after working out?
For sure. Or like, you know, you take off her shirt and you see her no tits, and it's just like there's a hair out of the nipple. You ever take a shirt off or like a bra off and a girl's got a hair out of her nipple? It's the
I've
most.
Seen it.
It's it ends it right there.
Yeah,
it's like, it's no way.
Why did you have the lights?
Especially if it's curly. It's got a little curl to it. Oh, not.
You know you went to Stevens Point. Turn the lights off.
Come on, it's a clapper.
Lena Dunham Award for the most annoying pile of shit in the game. Gary Dudak, the Lena Dunham Award for the most annoying pile of shit in the game.
Man, I got two that I really want to pick, but since I can only pick one, I'm going to go with Bryce Harper.
Ooh, man.
Bryce Harper already – he started annoying me a little bit a couple years ago with the clown question bro thing, you know, when he snapped at the reporter.
It's easy, dude. You're 19.
Yeah, it's like, take it easy. And there's just something about his smug – face that I just can't. It's very punchable to me. Very. I know he's 10 years younger than me, or maybe more than that.
You mean
that.
Like that, like a 2-inch mole that's underneath his eye?
That too, yeah. And the hair and the fact that he sucked last year and he was supposed to be really good.
You basically just described him the way I described Lena Dunham.
Yeah, exactly.
Almost word
so,
for word.
It's,
yeah.
It's a perfect
just a
match.
Punchable face.
Yeah.
Yours was a little more vile.
I mean,
she probably got hair on her toes.
I'd say Bryce Harper probably has less hair on his ass than Lena Dunham.
Yes. Yes, I like it.
So I'm going to go with Bryce Harper. I think he's going to get really annoying, especially the national struggle. And we're going to have to hear about where he's going in 2 years or whatever. And that's
he's going
to
Derrick Rose us. Huh?
That's
going to start talking about 3 years from now.
That's a perfect. That's
it doesn't matter. I'm going to get $400 million from the Yankees. Yeah.
Will he start calling himself Bryce, you think?
God, just the punch. The punch
Bryce
rage
don't
want to
talk
is growing.
About this. Bryce wants to talk about his contract.
Well, Joe Maddon and the Cubs basically wrecked him last year. He was having a great year until like what was
him,
it
right?
like 13 times in 19 plate appearances.
Yeah.
They walked him.
Yep,
and he wasn't the same after.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, mess with him.
All right, Murph, the most annoying pile of shit in the game, aka the Lena Dunham Award.
Man, I had a lot of names, but I'm gonna go Jose Bautista.
That was my
other one. Man, that's a great.
That was my 1A.
He is going to be a nightmare for the Toronto Blue Jays until the trading deadline.
Yep.
Because he's going to come out. I almost picked him for the come out of the gate hot guy. Because last year he was like, I deserve top money in the game, 5 for $150 like everybody else. And then he comes out and shits the bed. So he's going to come out hitting like .320, you know, with all these homers in April and May and want a contract.
Right.
Like right then and there. And
there'll be no hometown
discount. And I think the Blue
year.
Jays won't be as good as everyone thinks, and the crowd will turn on them, I hope.
I love it.
Like some WWF shit. Somebody comes out of the fans.
I'm going to go with Zach Greinke, for whatever reason, when he signed that contract last year with the Arizona Diamondbacks, he started questioning, like, we gave up too much for Shelby Miller.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Hey, just worry, like, hey, do you know your thing that you did last year with the Dodgers and, like, be almost a Cy Young pitcher and just shut your fucking mouth, dude. You are not the GM. It doesn't matter what they gave up. He's your teammate now. Go for it. And it seems like he was just so focused on other shit other than pitching last year that he was a big bag of garbage. And he just seems like one of those guys, again, that's just going to get lost in whatever and say some stupid shit. And it's just – he's always been a head case. That was his deal when he's with the Royals. Yep. Like, I don't know what he's
social
got.
Social disorder or something like that. Social anxiety disorder.
Yeah, so I think it's going to really hit the fan this year. And it's not as annoying as Lena Dunham's, like, just awkward physical condition. And
you've had nightmares,
just a fucking
you?
Mess.
Do you remember when Lena's
right on top of you, just looking you right in the eye?
Oh,
mustard coming out.
That's why I won't watch the show. Like, I guarantee that it's probably a decent
See,
show.
I will
you
say,
for a girls fan.
My wife really likes it. She really likes that show, and I get into a little, you know.
But if we were playing Family Feud and it was shows Tommy Gimler doesn't watch, you'd guess that pretty high.
That,
on
that's
the list,
true.
Right?
Yeah, that'd be up there.
But Allison Williams is fucking hot, and she's a good actress.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Three, ding, you know what I mean? There's shows that Gimler just doesn't watch. Girls.
All right, the last one. Which manager will win the Sally Yates Award for being the first to get fired this year? Of course, Sally Yates, the attorney general that was fired by Donald Trump for not going forth with the Muslim ban, which is a ban, isn't a ban. I think Saturday Night Live does a great job with Sean Spicer. Melissa McCarthy playing Sean Spicer is just unbelievable. So which manager will win the Sally Yates Award for being the first to get fired this year?
I thought he was giving me a cue there. I'm going to go with Brad Ausmus for the Detroit Tigers.
Ausmus. I also like to pronounce every letter in someone's last name, because if you can't pronounce it, then why is it there?
Ausmus. Yeah. Anyways, I'm going to go with the former player, now manager, Brad Ausmus, to follow up on Robin Ventura. I know he didn't get fired, but until the year was over. I think the Tigers are going to suck this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Verlander's going to suck. I think their team's going to suck. And I think he is an angry dude, former player anger, catcher especially. And I just think they're going to fizzle out and he's going to get canned.
He was on like the hot seat all year
last
year.
Exactly, yeah.
Murph.
I'll take John Gibbons of the Blue Jays.
Yes.
I'm staying with Toronto, my Toronto Mets theme. This guy looks like one of the alcoholics, like the type of guys you saw walking out of the bar when you were like 12.
I'm thinking at least three shits a day.
And his hat's like on the top of his head, like Earl Weaver sort of shit. Like, oh, yeah, this guy, him and the Batista ship, that's going to go down.
I'm going to go against Gary's theory that the Marlins are going to be a good team this year, and I think that this is the year that they're just going to suck balls and there's going to be like new ownership, and it's going to be because, believe it or not, Jeffrey Loria is probably going to get $1.6 billion for the Florida Marlins.
And he's going to start working for Trump, right?
Right. He's going to be like the ambassador to Spain or France or some shit.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
And people still believe in God. And Jeffrey Loria is getting all this shit. He lies. Like, he flat out commits a felony against the city of Miami and the state of Florida.
Believe in a cruel
and
guy.
Hides all of the money that he was making so he could get taxpayer money for Marlins Stadium. And then just the story goes away.
Yep.
Everybody stops talking about it. And then now he's going to get $1.6 billion for the Marlins, and he's going to be the ambassador to France.
There
is no God. I think the team gets sold, the Marlins are going to be shit, and Donnie Baseball's gone.
Could happen.
He's already, like, conceding. He's already, like, giving in. Now the Marlins are allowed to have facial hair.
Yeah,
like,
at
that point, it's kind of like, if players are already taking a stand saying, look, I want to grow a fucking beard, like, that's a problem.
I feel like the Marlins have defied the odds, though, by winning two World Series already, so I'm going to go with that and hope that they continue to be.
Well,
a surprise.
I hope you're wrong, especially if you take him in our next segment here, ladies and gentlemen. It's, again, the 2017 MLB preview here on the Daily Upper Decker. Find us online, dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. It's our preview brought to you by Flag and Anthem. Just great clothes. If you haven't gotten laid in like 2 years, get yourself some Flag and Anthem gear. My wife can't bang me right now, but she wants to, all because of like the gear that I've gotten.
Why can't she bang you?
Because we're doing IVF on Thursday.
Oh, nice.
So you say like the gear that you've got?
Yeah, well, in more ways than one, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, the clothes.
The hazmat suit? Oh, the gear.
The flag and anthem shirt.
The garb.
She said it was attractive. It was great. She hasn't called me attractive in a long time. So I can't have sex with her right now because she's taking all these drugs. And if, let's say, I would slip one past the goalie, like, odds are she could have a litter. It would be like Tom and Kate plus, like, 18.
Wow.
She's producing all these eggs, and then they take the eggs out, and then
why George Clooney's wife's having twins, and Beyonce.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, flag and anthem close. Get late. Yeah. All right. So this is always, whenever we do our NFL, NBA, now MLB previews, we always bring in degenerates like myself, Barry, and Gary, and we sit down, and we're going to go through, and each of us get 5 picks. So we're going to do the win totals over-under. So basically Vegas and Reno have set over-under win totals for each team. So like in the AL East, the Red Sox are 90.5, Blue Jays 86.5, Orioles 84.5, Yankees 83.5, Rays 75.5. And they've done that for all 30 MLB teams. Now, the way the draft works is we picked off Mike. Murph gets the first pick. Gary gets the second pick. I get the third pick. And then the fourth pick, and we wrap around and come back. We do 5 picks. Now, in the first round, this is your Alyssa Milano sure thing. I mean, if you're an MLB player and you see Alyssa Milano, prepare to get your dick sucked. It's a sure thing. I mean, she went out with Brad Penny, for Christ's sake. That guy hasn't seen his dick since the Bush administration. He's a big boy. So she is as much of a sure thing as it gets if you're a baseball player, all right? So that's round one. Now, that pick is worth 30 points if it comes in at the end of the year. So you want to make sure that is your real deal right there. Your second pick, now this, we talked about this. This is an iffy name for it. We're going to call it the Corey Lytle dead right thing. Now, Corey Lytle, of course, was flying a miniature plane, and he wasn't flying it too well because
he was flying a little bit worse than Harrison Ford, I think.
Yes, he was. Tough to be worse than Harrison Ford as a pilot.
Harrison Ford was on a golf course. Corey Lytle was going down to Hudson with
with his prop plane.
Did you hear about Harrison Ford this week, though?
Yeah, he almost hit another plane in Orange County at John Wayne.
He landed on the taxiway instead of the runway.
Yeah, it's like, all right, sir.
He
like
landed
grandma
on Sepulveda.
It's like my grandpa. Now, why can't I drive my Chevy Lumen anymore? Because you're landing it on taxiways, or in the case of my grandpa, you're driving it the wrong way in the Pick and Save parking lot, sir. All right, Corey Lytle, dead right. He was a terrible pilot, flew his plane into a building. I think the time has passed. I think it was October 11, 2006, so it's more than 10 years ago.
Wow.
Now we can laugh about it. All right. So the Corey Lytle, who else were we looking for? Eric Schau, but he OD'd on drugs or some shit.
Yeah.
He was the guy who gave up the record-breaking hit to Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Eric Schau.
Daryl Kyle.
Never got over it. Daryl Kyle, yeah, another one.
I don't know what happened to him. Something bad.
No, he was drinking and driving and slammed into the back of a truck at 5 in the morning.
I was going to suggest Louis Salazar from the Cubs, but he just lost an eye.
No.
he's not dead.
Well, his dating days are over. You got at that point, like when you lose the eye, you just have to like rock the eye patch and just fucking own
right?
it. You have to. Arr, can I get you a Miller Lite? No, get away. No, you'll like it. You'll talk to me later on. Let me know if you run out of money. All right, so... So that is worth 20 points, the Corey Lytle dead right pick. You have to not only like say, hey, the Red Sox under is coming in, but they're going to, if it's 90.5, they would have to get 87 wins.
Yep.
Because it's got to be 2.5 games better or worse than what you're saying, depending on whether or not you take the over or the under. And then third, fourth, fifth picks, those are all the just regular 10-point picks. Either it's right or it's wrong. Okay. Barry, Guitar, Murphy, you are on the clock here first in the Flag and Anthem 2017 MLB preview here on the Daily Upper Decker. It is our win totals over and unders.
This is tough. This is really tough. And this is going to surprise some people, I think, this pick. I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Pirates for 30 points under 85.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Yahweh.
no, Yahweh, bro.
I think this whole McCutcheon trade thing, which has been looming forever, and now they're moving him to right field against his wishes.
Yeah, you think he's just going to be totally buttered about it?
Well, I think he's a great player and a great like team sort of guy, but like I think that's trouble. We already talked about Mr. Kong and his DUIs. You also have Garrett Cole coming back off a major injury and a really weak pitching staff. If Ivan Nova is your 3, that's not good. You lost your closer.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a rookie first baseman.
Josh Bell, yeah.
I think, I don't know. I think 85 and a half is just too much. I could easily see him win, you know, going 500, but I don't see 85 and a half.
I think that's a great explanation, actually. That you should be a lawyer. That is like, that is.
I have played a lot of factor fudge. I've played a lot of it.
The pile too.
36% of the time I get my clients off.
All the time. All right, Gary Dudak, your Alyssa Milano sure thing pick.
All right, I've said that I'm a Dodger hater, but I'm not going to pick anything on the Dodgers. I'm going to go with the Giants over instead, over 87.5. I really do think the Melanson signing is huge for them, like mm-hmm. we talked about. And I think that's going to chalk up a bunch of extra wins there. And they're still, I mean, it's not an odd year, right? Or no, it's not an even year, so that's not good. But I think they're going to buck that trend and have an amazing year this year, and they're going to win the West.
I like it. I honestly think that this is a year where Hunter Pence can totally focus on baseball because he won't get his scooter stolen this year. So I agree with you. I think it's a great pick. I was actually thinking about making that my Alyssa Milano sure thing.
So I stole it from you.
You did,
nice.
Basically.
Nice.
So now I got to kind of look through and whatever, what's going on here. All right. I'm actually going to go with the San Diego Padres under 64 wow. and a half. They're the worst, and I'm going to go with this reasoning right here. Now, it backfired for me in the NBA preview when I did it for the Denver Nuggets because they're actually winning games.
Mm-hmm.
I can't name one guy other than Ryan Schimpf on the San Diego Padres. Maybe Christian Friedrich as a pitcher.
Wait, there's one dude I know. Isn't Will Myers on that team?
Oh, Will Myers. Yeah, yeah. All right.
You know what?
No, not at all.
I just heard they signed Jared Weaver today, too.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Now I'd pick to double up on it, please. Jared Weaver is getting a spot in that rotation.
He's going to be probably the third starter on that team.
Not even the 420 feet to center field at Petco Park could save that guy. I like that pick even more now that they signed Jared Weaver. I'm sure he's going to be a great clubhouse guy.
I think the quote was, "I still have a lot left in the tank," is what he told the San
Diego
Padres.
And I live
Padres
in San Diego. So it works for me.
I think he's just working for Trump. He's going to help build the wall. I think that's what he's doing down in San Diego. And then my second, so this is now my dead right pick. I've got to be dead right on this one. Boy, God, a Giants one really dicked me, didn't it? So this one has to be what, 2.5 wins over?
2.5, yeah.
2.5 wins
over.
You
need to win by 3, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so then I'm going to take the Phillies over 72.5 wins.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. I think the Nationals are going to run away with that division.
It's a great pick.
But I also think, like, I think the Mets are going to be weak, the Marlins are going to be weak, and the Braves. I think the Braves are actually going to start out, like, really well. There's going to be a lot of hype, the new stadium, all that stuff. But they're honestly going to fizzle. That pitching staff is unbelievable. Like, what is Bartolo Colon? They're 2?
Yeah, I think so.
R.A. Dickey's, they're 3. So that's going to be absolutely horrible. So I will say that the Phillies win at least 76 games, or,
yeah.
right? Or no,
well,
it's got to be 75?
See, yeah, I'm a little confused. They're 72.5.
You got to win 75.
So 75.
So 2.5 is a win?
Great, yeah, because I think they're going to go 76
so
and 86.
You're going to win on if it hits 75. Is
75, yep.
Not, yeah, that's not a push?
It's 2.5.
It's up to you guys.
Push.
You tell me. Push?
It's up to I don't care.
Or do you just get half? Do you just get the 10 points?
Well, this is a 20-point round, so it's like...
So at that point, you just get 10. You get half. Because otherwise, it's saying that you lost.
Exactly.
Yeah, because there's no penalty. It would be like then you just lost. The push would be a loss there. So like if you hit the number exactly in that case, then at least give
them
10 points.
Okay, so 76 is a 20-point win, and if it's 75, then you get 10 points.
10 points, yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Because otherwise
rule.
It's like a loss, even though you just got it
it's
right.
It's like a 10-point bonus. A push is a loss. So that's no good.
Perfect.
All right, so you get 10 if it's 75.
It's like a parlay where you push in a parlay, and it knocks a three-teamer down to a two-teamer. I like
it. Exactly.
All right, Gary, coming back your way. This is the Corey Lytle dead right round where you have to either be 2.5 games worse than your under or 2.5 games better for your over.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Royals under for this one. I feel like they took a big step back last year, and they're only going to get worse, and they're going to go back to being the Kansas City Royals. So I'm going to go a dead right under 80.5. So I guess I'm in the same boat as you. Where if it's 78, that'd be a push.
Correct.
77 would be a 20-point win.
I like it.
Yeah. And, and RIP to Ventura.
Oh, yeah, man. I completely just forgot about that. Yeah.
He kind of got just kind of brushed over with Jose Fernandez.
Yeah, it never really works out.
He kind of just flipped right by his Jeep there. We just
is it too early?
He's got six shows coming up at the J Spot. Hey, come on, yeah, let him know.
Can
it.
We Barry, talk Barry, a little
They don't
bit.
Know I'm white.
How insane was it that he died on the same day that another former pitcher died in the same country? I forget who it was.
Yeah, but it was a separate accident.
Like 15 miles apart.
Marte. It was the Marte kid.
Andy Marte or whatever. Crazy.
It's what's unbelievable. And they're not going to release the toxicology report either. Did you hear that?
They probably don't have to.
They don't. Yeah. What they have to do is they have to release it to
Trump
the lawyers.
Will get it. Just fucking go down there and say, we want it. Give us the report.
He's a good negotiator.
And why is the liberal media not giving us the report?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'll tell you what. Getting this toxicology report is going to be huge. Bidley. Huge.
Does Ports do a good impression of Trump?
Maybe when he's drunk. We'll find out.
I hope the Royals lose Bidley.
All right. Well, yeah. So Gary Dudak is hoping that the loss of Yordano Ventura, that they don't rally behind
Helps me.
He's hoping that Yordano Ventura's untimely death puts money in his pocket. I like it. All right. Barry Murphy, you're on the hook for two. Your Corey Lytle dead right pick, and then you're just a regular.
I just want to let you guys know you stole the Royals, the Padres, and the Phillies from me.
The exact same picks
like
that
stole
you wanted?
Or stole?
Those were my
Did
next
you stole? Wow. Stole?
You stole them.
Oh, I thought you said stole them. I'm, wow, we've got hugest and stole.
What was the word he
was
taking a step earlier? Back. He added a couple N's to a word. What was it?
I forget what it was. We'll check the tape.
Cinnamon?
Yeah. Mr. Pronunciation guy. Captain Fuckle.
I think hugest is still a word.
Huge.
Hugest.
I use hugest at least once a week.
Imagine if that would have been one of his executive orders. It's no longer huge. It's huge. Change it, Oxford.
All right, I'm fired up right now. I didn't want to do this because I wanted this to be a part of the podcast, but I'm going to take Gary's White Sox under 73.5.
Ooh.
I wanted it to come down to a third round where I'd already made all my picks, and I got to say, hey, Gary, were you going to take the White Sox? I'm doing it. Man. Were you going to take the over or under?
I was going to go under.
I will trade you for the Royals under.
Ooh. No, I can't trade. I can't.
That would have been the first ever trade.
If it wasn't the dead right one, I would think about it, but I just can't.
Dead right for dead right.
I like it. Huh? So White Sox under 73.5?
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, 71
I think
would be a push.
Yeah. Yep.
They've obviously made a lot of great moves, but we all agree they're two to 3 years away. And if anything, they want a tank. It's been proven. We all know it works. Just do it.
I will say this. I bought a pack of cards at Target the other day, which I haven't done in a long time.
You having a midlife crisis?
No, you know, just moseying around.
Extra $1.79 in your pocket.
It was the closest thing next to the cigarettes, and you gave up smoking this year. It's kind of like a
It was therapeutic.
Yeah, it is. It's a therapy thing.
Weirdly enough, my mom for the holidays sent me a bunch of my old cards in like a container. She mailed them out to me because I think she was just sick of looking at them. And it inspired me to go to the card section of Target, and I bought a pack of cards. It was like one of those weird, and I got a signed Tim Anderson card.
Wow.
He's a shortstop.
Yeah, I like him. Yep.
Yeah, I got a signed card in there.
What was your reaction when you pulled the card out?
I was really
happy.
Like,
did you go, oh, and it's signed?
Yeah, I was fucking stoked.
Were you?
And I just tucked it away. And like,
Where is it right now?
In the same case my mom sent me that's just tucked away under our bed now.
It's laminated on my bookshelf.
You should play stupid. It's 2017 in America where if you complain to like a product, like any company,
yeah.
If you complain about the product, they'll give you anything. So you should say, like, this is bullshit. I dropped $3 on a pack of cards, and somebody wrote on mine. And you should see, like, if someone said something. We used to call, like, this is before the internet. We used to just sit around on, like, a 95-degree day when it was too hot to play baseball. So we would sit inside, and we'd look on the side of, like, a box of Frosted Flakes, and we'd call the 1-800 number. And we would just say, like, yeah, you know, I got, like, whatever card, like a Tim Salmon card in here, and it's the corner's bent, and it's no longer a mint condition card, and it's not worth the value that it should be. And I'm going to be honest, I don't even like your cereal. I just got it for the card. So, and they would send us, like, full packs or, like, full sets.
That's awesome.
You would get your address and something. They would send you, like, the full set.
There's some 68-year-old woman in Sheboygan telling the same story but the other way right now.
Yeah, and these kids would always call. We just gave them another pack. So nice.
She's doing a podcast right now, too.
She is. Yeah.
See, we were all
basket
like,
weaving. We're talking about basketball cards.
Well, speaking of Baskin, we used to, like, we would do, like, the Jerky Boy shit where we would call, like, random numbers. We'd be like, hey, Tommy, our good boy Tommy back home would get on there, and he would call, and he'd be like, the woman on the other line would be like, hello. And he'd be like, hey, this is Ryan from 33 Flavors, Baskin Robbins, 33 Flavors. You've got 33 seconds. Name all 33 flavors. Or what is it, 31 flavors or 33?
Both, I think. There was a little both.
All right,
Baskin Robbins was one and the other
31,
was
31, I think.
You've got 31 seconds. Name all 31 flavors. If you can do that, you win $31. Ready? Go. And she'd be like, pistachio, vanilla, chocolate. And she'd hear in the background, name some flavors. Screaming in the back.
That's a great one.
I bet you it still worked today.
Now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
Let's do
good.
A podcast where we just do that to people.
Where we crank all the Jerky Boys 20th anniversary, where we crank all. All right, we're in the third round here, Murph. All these are just regular now. Just it either happens or it doesn't.
All right, let's go Angels under 76.5.
The under train for Bear.
Yeah, I'm a big under guy.
Those classes aren't paying off. They're like, you got to be a little more positive. Yeah, right.
Who takes those classes? If Garrett Richards is your number one, which is fine, but the rest of this rotation, Ricky Nolasco is your number three, not so good. Then they're going to platoon Valbuena and have a pool host DH. Ugly. Yeah. Cameron Maybin, anywhere. Yonel Escobar, terrible, awful bullpen.
Anytime you're taking like pitchers off a Minnesota shit heap and making them your number two, you've got problems.
And I will say, I think the rest of that division, like Houston was off last year. There's no way. I mean, you got Houston, Texas, and Seattle. Like, they're fucked.
Right. I like it. Good pick. Gary Dudak, third round pick.
I'm going to go another under as well. I'm going to go with the Nationals under. I'm sticking with the Melanson effect, and I think they're going to lose. They're going to lose a lot more. I think Bryce Harper and his punchable face is going to get more punchable when they keep losing.
When we do the behind the scenes for this one, Gary's, we're going to be like, Gary, so how'd you do your picks? Why based all my picks on Mark Melanson?
And how much I hate Bryce Harper.
Oh, I hate him so much. But I just think they're gonna crumble. And I watch a lot of PTI, and it's always enjoyable when Tony Kornheiser is upset and pissed about the Nationals because he roots for them. So I'm going to enjoy that as well. So I think it was, what, 90.5?
I'm gonna
ballpark them in the mid 80s this year, just enough to just make them all just hate each other. That'd be fun.
I completely disagree, but I'm gonna jump on one of my picks that I talked about earlier. The St. Louis Cardinals. I'm gonna jump on the under 87.5. I honestly think that this is the year where they finish right around 500 or under. They could really, I think, really take a dive. I mean, Yadier Molina has to have no knees left. He's got to be walking around with like Chad Clifton knees. and he doesn't. Like, they're metal. It's crazy.
So 87.5 under.
I'm going under for them, and then I'm going the over on the Cleveland Indians, 92.5. I'm going to go the over there. I think that is an extremely weak division. And Terry Francona, now granted, he took over for Grady Little when the Red Sox came back and won in 2004, but I think he's the right guy in that situation about getting them to play with the unfinished business attitude. And, you know, they were without Salazar, Carrasco for how long? You know, they're getting those guys back. Michael Brantley should be healthy and ready to go. Like, I think 92.5, they're going to reach that by July.
July.
Well, that's where you got crazy. No, I honestly see, like, them winning the most games out of any team in all of baseball.
You think they'll win 100?
Yeah, because I think that their division is the one of the weakest, if not the weakest, in all of baseball.
Sounds like you should have taken them for your Corey Lytle pick with that confidence.
No, the Phillies.
Oh, okay.
Plus, I like the Indians, so I don't want to put that much pressure.
And Lytle was on the Phillies for years.
I actually think he was on the Phillies. He was. All right, Gary Dudak, your fourth pick.
I'm going to go with an over here, and I know it contradicts my Aroldis Chapman pick earlier, but I'm going to go over on the Yankees 83.5.
You're all over the place.
I know. I'm a mess. But sometimes I like to hedge my bets. I'm known for that, right? So, I'm going to hedge here and go over 83.5 for the Yankees. I just think that it's a little too low. I think they're still the Yankees, and their offense is going to be a lot better. I know their pitching kind of sucks, probably. But I think they'll do all right, and I think they'll win enough just to stay relevant.
Do you think that, like, at any point, Betances, like, sees Brian Cashman sit down, like, just on the other side of the protective netting, and he just chucks a 98-mile-an-hour fastball over there?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, unbelievable. All right, Murph, your final two picks of the 2017 Daily Upper Decker over under win totals draft.
Okay, I'll go with I'm gonna shock you guys with an over.
Whoa.
I know. Seattle over 85.
Good luck with that.
Great pick.
I've taken so many Seattle overs in my day.
And they never hit, so no. That's why this year it hits.
Yeah, probably right.
I liked them last year, but then they added Segura and little Jared Dyson, who's whatever. He's fun. He's a winner.
And I like bringing in Gallardo too. I know Gimler, you probably can't stand him, but
I think when he's a four or five too,
he's right. not. There's no pressure on that guy. So I liked him. I don't know.
You know, they have a former Cubs prospect. Was it
Brooks Kieschnick?
Is it Dan Vogelbach? The guy they traded for Mike Montgomery, so he's supposed to compete for the first base job. I think he's a stud.
I don't know. I like him.
So you have the rotation is there. You've got Felix Hernandez. You've got I think that James Paxton kid is going to be something special.
Uwakuma. Whatever. Drew Smiley's good. And Gallardo's your five. That's pretty good.
I think it's in that division. I think it's
so over 85.5.
Yeah.
It's really good. All right. And your final pick.
Oh, geez. I'm still on the clock. Oh, boy. I'll go Toronto under 86.5.
Oh, it stuck around all the
way. I can't believe I forgot about it.
Yep.
Toronto under 86.5.
You can refer to the rest of the podcast if you want to find out why. Yeah, I know. We think the Batista is garbage, and they lost Encarnacion. And I don't know. I think like they're talking. Aaron Sanchez is awesome, but they're already talking about an innings limit with him.
And I honestly think that Marcus Stroman's an overrated sack of fuck.
He's overrated, but he's good. But he's overrated. But like they're a team that's like, you know, that team who's been there a couple times and almost there, and then they have that shit season, and that's
like the Pirates.
Yeah,
the Pirates
I almost
are a
think
years,
that's
yeah.
who they are right now. They peaked, in my opinion. And Donaldson's hurt, by the way, 2 to 3 weeks starting now. And again, that's not the season, but those injuries linger.
Yeah, for sure. I like it.
So Jays under 86.5. Yeah. Gotcha.
Uh-oh. Oh, we're going to have some action here real quick. Oh my man. God.
Hi.
Hey. This is what happens. I thought that the light outside of the studio was on that said "Do not disturb," like the recording.
The red
but
light.
Apparently, like you know, we must be over our time. Must be over our time. It's pretty crazy. All right, Gary Dudek, your final pick here.
I'm going to stick with the NL East and go under on the Mets, which we've already talked about. Under 89.5. My theory is the Marlins are going to be better. I think the Phillies are going to be better, which you agree with. The Braves, who I don't know who gives a shit about them, but I think the Nationals and the Mets are both going to drop. And I think the Mets land somewhere in the low to mid-80s in wins. So I think that one's way off. I'm going to go under there. Cespedes, huge step back. All the old guys hurt. And by the way, do you know how many planes fly over a Mets game when you go there? Have you ever been to a Mets game?
Why, because of LaGuardia being right there?
Yeah, it's insane. I went to one last summer. It was fucking nuts. It was like planes constantly flying over. It was really distracting. It was really weird.
Yeah, I wonder if
it's a
little
fun fact for you there.
Wow, so someone who's like afraid of planes, like that must be like a very like a part of their therapy. Like you got to sit through 7 innings of a Mets game.
Just get them a bunch.
Here it comes! Here it comes! It's coming for us!
Just get a bunch of edibles and put them on the second deck and just see what happens.
Unbelievable.
Anyways, you know, Mets under.
I like it. I honestly want to take so badly. I want to take the Pirates over. Here, but I'm not going to. I'm actually going to go with the Texas Rangers over 86.5. They are pretty much like my balls and penis right now because I can't have sex right now. Like they're loaded.
They are
loaded, and I mean ready to go at every position. I feel that they are they're great. I think their pitching staff, like Yu Darvish, is completely healthy this time. Things are so good for Texas that they're giving Josh Hamilton a minor league contract.
Wow.
Like, they're like, why not? Why not?
That's where the drugs are the most prevalent, I believe.
In the minor leagues? Yeah, that's where he really, really got himself on a good train there. All right. So, to recap, Murph, you have the Pirates under 85.5, the White Sox under 73.5, the Angels under 76.5, you have the Blue Jays under 86.5, and the Seattle over Mr. Positive 85.5.
Sometimes you got to believe.
Sometimes.
And the Mariners.
Usually never.
Yikes.
Gary Dudek from TMZ, you have the Giants over of 87.5, the Royals under 80.5, the Nationals the Nationals under 90.5, the Yankees over 83.5, and the Mets under. Boy, eyes on New York for you this year, huh?
Yeah, how about that?
And then Tommy Gimler from the Daily Upper Decker, you have the Padres under 64.5, the Phillies over 72.5, the Cardinals under 87.5, the Indians over 92.5, and the Rangers over 86.5. Guys, it's been a hell of a podcast. Again, you can find us every single day on dailyupperdecker.com. You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. Make sure you jump online right now, and you get 20% off your first purchase of Flag and Anthem clothing. My wife wants to plow me when I wear it, but she can't right now, but she will. She promised in a couple weeks that she would.
The Daily Upper Decker, nothing but sports and crap.